Coming up, I'm going to share five things that make people dislike you at work. And then boomerang employees are wanting their old jobs back. And we've got some unbelievably cringy job postings, and we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Giving you the competitive edge to win at work and in life, making more money, making greater impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm your coach. Let's go. Five things that make people dislike you at work. So, who's the office jerk? This is the question I lead with today. Come on. Some of you right now, you're going, oh, some of you instantly were like, oh, yeah, it's Fred. This guy, Fred, is a world-class jerk. Some of you were like, well, let's see. Am I allowed more than one answer? Right? I mean, does this include my boss or is this just coworkers? Some of you are like, well, you know what? I'm really blessed. I don't work with any jerks. That's either true or you're the jerk. So let's dive into this, right? I mean, who among us wants to be a jerk? All right. Like the only people who want to be a jerk are people that are so unhealthy and they're so stuck in their life. They're in such a bad place that the idea of being a jerk is acting out. But nobody in a healthy mindset wants to be a jerk. But we've all been jerks before and we will all be jerks again on some level. We hope it's just very, very few times. And we certainly hope that it's not at a nuclear level, right? But there is a problem in today's workforce, and I am on the front lines. I hear it every day on the show, in social, via emails from you, the people. We see it in the data that we share on the show. We got a massive problem in the workplace in America. And you know what it is? Too many freaking jerks. So let's take on the jerkiness. Can we? All right. So here are five common jerky behaviors. Oh, this is so fun for me. Here we go. Number one, overconfidence. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's a difference between confident and so cocky that you come across like a jerk. All right. I mean, overconfidence in the form of cockiness is just good old fashioned jerkiness. You're a jerk. Number two. How about the know-it-all jerk? Yeah. Yeah. Some of you right now, I can hear, if I listen close, I can hear you amening out the internet in the airwaves, over the satellite, over the podcast. You're amening about the know-it-all. These are people who think they know everything, so therefore they can't learn anything. One of the ways we see this is they ignore any kind of feedback, any kind of advice. When they need it, they ignore it. Oh, yeah. Big old jerks. Number three, how about the I'm too good for that jerk? This is different than cockiness. This is arrogance. That's beneath me. Dismissing menial tasks. I'm too qualified, or I'm too educated, or I'm too good for that. Oh boy, they're a special kind of jerk, aren't they? How about fourth? How about just the jerk? Oh yeah, like, this is just a person who's actually trying because they're in so much pain, they're in so much misery that they want to demean and belittle and hurt others because they themselves are hurting. We ought to treat the janitor with the same amount of respect as we treat the CEO. Don't demean others. Don't belittle others. Don't disrespect others. It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? By the way, let me just tell you, that everybody has this capacity. And many times it is because you are hurting or you feel you've been offended or hurt. And so it is a knee-jerk response. Yes, I meant to use that, right? This idea of when we go to the doctor's office, they do that reflex thing and they hit the front of your knee with that stupid little triangle rubber mallet and your knee can't, you know, it's just kind of go, oh. And so many times we're a jerk in this regard when we feel offended. Well, I'm guilty of that one. Number five. How about the aloof jerk? They avoid any kind of true, meaningful conversation. They avoid casual conversation. In other words, they don't engage in community or relationship. Yeah. And just, I don't want to engage. You know, I tell you what it reminds me of. Yeah, you've ever seen these celebrities, you know, on video or camera, they're walking out of a restaurant. It's not their fault. So they've named them not been jerks here, but you know, the paparazzi, everybody's paying attention and they're just trying to ignore the paparazzi. But it's the person who does that in real life, walking around, ignoring everybody else. You don't want to be part of anything. Yeah, it's jerky behavior. So how do we avoid being a jerk? So it starts with self-awareness. And so here's a fun question. Am I being jerky? Am I being a jerk? Like, we have to walk around with a sense of self-awareness to go, something didn't feel right about that. How much of that was because I was being a jerk? Gosh, this is hard. Can I tell you how hard this is? This is really, really hard. And I don't want to oversimplify this teaching right now because it's not simple in the sense of it's simple to understand. And it's not simple to do. And the reason it's not simple to do is because it requires us to, number one, say, was I a jerk? And that's the easiest part of the hard part. The hardest part is it's a two-part question. Was I a jerk is part one. Part two is, why was I a jerk? Oh, I'll be honest with you. I'm uncomfortable right now. Thinking about times when I've been a jerk and I had to get with myself, right? A little huddle with me. Was I a jerk? I had to go find out and they told me I was a jerk. Oh, geez. And so the huddle with myself is, why was I a jerk? What caused me to be a jerk? And so I gave you just moments ago some general ideas, but let's just talk about the solution to avoiding jerkiness. Be humble. Be humble. And this is not walking around like Eeyore. That's not humility. C.S. Lewis said it best. Being humble is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And so the idea is when I'm walking around thinking about others more than I'm thinking of myself, small chance I'm going to be a jerk. Ask for feedback. Ask for feedback and help and knowledge and insight from people who know more than you, whether they've been in the building longer or they've been in the career decades longer. Do what you were asked to do in the job. Do what you were asked to do. Do it with excellence. Treat everybody with dignity and respect, and then engage. Make relationships in the office, engage. So that's the flip side of those five areas of jerkiness that we can all fall into, and that's the flip side. And so why is it important to make sure that we are guarding ourselves from being jerks? Because instead of bringing jerkiness to the office, you'll bring joyfulness. And guess what I know? Those that are joyful get promoted and make really good money and big impact. Jerks, they just get kicked out. I need a song. I need a variation, Alex, on the DJ Khaled song, All I Do Is Win, Win, Win. I need a version, and we can make it ourselves so we'll have no licensing issues, Joe. And it says, all I do is help you win, win, win. Okay?
That's no matter what.
No matter what. Thank you very much. That's all about the people, not about me. So we need to see if we can come up with a fun version of that. All right. Speaking of helping you win, 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 no matter what. I've teamed up with our amazing team at Ramsey Academy, where we're helping you grow in your career, adding tools to your tool belt. And the way we're doing that recently, oh my goodness, every Thursday night in May, we have hosted a free crash course. So coming up this Thursday, May 26th, we're hosting an interview crash course. That's right. I'm teaching you how to win your job interviews. For many of you, most of you, it'll be the most pressure-filled performance you'll ever have to give. And I can give you the hacks. Relentless preparation leads to reflexive performance. And I'm going to teach you how to perform reflexively, no matter what your stress level is. So I'm going to walk you through how to prepare, what to expect, common interview questions, and so much more. To sign up for this, just go to RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. Go to RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. Let me coach you up. All right. I am a man of the people, and I am here for you. I am informed. So maybe you don't have to be. You're busy. Let me read. Let me reflect. And let me help you with my esteemed opinion on things in the news. I just asked myself, why am I speaking in that voice? And I'm having entirely too much fun. But also, that's the kind of stuff, Alex, I would like to do around the house. But with three teenagers, they just brutally criticize me. Any attempt to be funny? Oh, Dad, that's so cringe. I need a t-shirt that says, I'm cringe. Because that's what I feel like my teens call me all the time. Are you experiencing this, Alex? You got the teens. Yeah, you are too? Okay, very good. All right, let's get to it here. This is a CNN story. Early on in the show, I've mentioned boomerang employees. And this is referring to people who have left one place, company ABC. They go to a company XYZ, and it's not what they thought, or it's not what they wanted, or they realized, oof, I got some buyer's remorse. Gee whiz, I sure would like to come back home, right? It's the old, I want to live on my own, mom and dad. And so mom and dad go, all right, Sparky, go get yourself an apartment. And the kid's in the apartment for 3 or 4 months, and life hits him, and they go, I'm not ready. I'd like to come back home. That's what's going on. In March, a record 4.5 million people quit their jobs. Folks, the Great Resignation continues. We're now over 30 million people have changed their jobs since August of 2022, when this thing really started heating up. And really, you look at the summer, of August of 2021. And so if you look at the summer of 2021, things really started to heat back up in many parts of the country. And keep in mind, folks, that before the pandemic, so in February of 2020, I was on this show talking daily about the fact that we had more jobs available than we had people unemployed. So we were about 3.8% unemployment in February of 2020. And now here we sit, 3.6% unemployment. And so we were talking as a team, and I want to point something out. We were talking in our content meeting last week, I believe, about this gap. We keep hearing about it. Companies have a hard time finding people because we have, again, let's just make this up, making this up for round numbers. We got 10 million jobs available. We're somewhere in that range. And we have 8.2 million, 8.3 million, 8.1 million people unemployed. So there's a gap. More jobs than there are people who are looking for jobs. Okay. And so we were talking about this, and I pointed this out to our team, and I want to point it out to you. This is not a problem. Okay, this is not a societal economic problem. It is a nuisance for companies. But let's be very careful for us to understand that this is first of all, it's great for you, the people, because it is a job seeker's market. However, this is a sign of a healthy capitalistic society. A healthy capitalistic society will have a large percentage of it coming from the entrepreneurial ventures. So in any healthy capitalistic society, you will have new entrepreneurs essentially starting something new every day. And as a result, you will and should have, in a healthy economy, more jobs available than you have people that are unemployed. Okay? So let's understand that this isn't a bad thing. So you hear people talking about it. Well, it is a nuisance for leaders and companies, and leaders are going to have to figure out what their competitive advantage is. And I'm going to tell you this. Hey, leaders, hey, companies, if you start taking care of the people you have, you'll never have to worry about getting the people you need. Ooh, that's a mic drop. We'll leave that there and get back to that some other time. So here's the story. Millions and millions and millions of people changing jobs, but more and more people are experiencing buyer's remorse. They jump ship, got a higher paycheck, which by the way, on the surface, the bigger paycheck seems like it's a no-brainer. Until the bigger paycheck high wears off. Then we're in a new place that may not be as healthy as the old place. We're in a new place where they told us we want you to do this job, but you're not doing that job. We're in a new place that showed a lot of potential promise, got me maybe closer to my sweet spot or in my sweet spot, but the people are jerks. The boss is a jerk. Or the boss is just a horrible leader. Good person, bad leader. Happens all the time. In fact, most bad leaders are in some ways good people. They just don't know how to lead. So, all of a sudden, the reality comes crashing down. Ugh. The grass is not greener. I'd like to go home. Could I please come home, Mom and Dad? And that's what's happening. They're reaching out going, hey, reaching out to their old boss. Certainly, these are people who left well. Keep in mind. And so, here's another little commercial of content as we dive into this. Leaving well matters. You may not think it matters, it matters. And you ask these boomerang employees if leaving well matters, and they'd go, oh, baby, does it matter? But you young people out there who've grown up with TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all the other things, and you just ghost people for a living, I mean, these stinking kids they spend all their time on Snapchat. The whole concept of Snapchat is ghosting. I send you a message, and then poof, it's gone. Isn't that true? It's the whole thing. Thank you, Alex. The entire, I'm so 47. The entire logo of Snapchat is a ghost. This is what social media has done. I can ignore you. I can gaslight you, but from a distance. No consequences to our actions, at least we don't think. But these people who left and don't want to come back, they left well because they are being taken back, some of them. So the story goes into three different profiles. Here's the takeaway. A big chunk of people missed interacting with people. They took a job that was highly remote because they thought during the pandemic, that's what I want. So they took a job that was, well, I get to control my time. It's very remote. They miss people. That was one big takeaway. Not the right timing. They took the opportunity. It was the right paycheck, but it wasn't the right timing for them. And they realized it. They jumped too quickly. And number three, some people said, you know what? I made a move for a paycheck, but I'm going back because the career growth, the ladder that you hear me talk about all the time, the ladder for growth, it was at the old place. And so they're returning. Now, here's what's interesting. As I read the story, they profiled three people in the story. Here's what's interesting, Alex. All three of the people they profiled in this article who are boomerang, successful boomerangers, meaning they left company ABC, go to XYZ, and they get a chance to return to ABC. And they did it. All three, there was a relationship component. They did it out of relationship. We long to belong. Folks, there's a reason why I wrote the book, Paycheck to Purpose. Paycheck wears off. And in our purpose is relational desires as well. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. The job search, while it is hot, hot, hot out there as far as opportunity, it can still be lonely and frustrating. A lot of ghosting. Companies will ghost you. You feel like I apply, I don't get any response at all. Even crickets are worse than I get initial response and then they ghost me. So that's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. Their artificial intelligence does most of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs that you could apply to with just one click. And they are always pitching your profile to employers who have positions that could be a match for you. It is absolutely fantastic tool for your tool belt. Sign it for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That is ZipRecruiter.com. All right, to the phones we go. Seattle, Washington is where Sarah is. Sarah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Sarah. What's going on?
Hey, so I've been working as an accountant for 14 years in the same company, and I'm finding out this job is not rewarding. So I have been doing some research and then did some couple interviews, but now I'm finding myself, I'm not sure if this is the path that I want to continue. 3 years ago, I paid off my debt through David Ramsey's show, and
Fantastic. Then
it was really great experience. So I want to help out people who are financially struggling, but I don't know where to start.
Mm. Well, so we start with, how are the ways that I can get paid to help people who are financially struggling, right? We take that really heartfelt statement that you made. I want to help people who are struggling financially. And then we say, okay, all right, where are those people gathering for help, right? Online, mm-hmm. in real life, you know, and you start to go, okay, do I want to be a financial coach, which is starting your own business? You could do that on the side. For instance, if you were to do financial coach master training with Ramsey Solutions, get trained not only on how to do it, but how to grow your business, you could do that on the side in your accounting job. Probably give you a lot of juice. But let me just tell you something. That is an entrepreneurial venture. I mean, you are going to have to build that one person at a time. Okay, that doesn't just pay the bills right away. So you really got to hustle on that one. And you can do it over time to take the pressure off. See, if you're not relying on financial coaching business to be your sole income, then there's no pressure and we can build that. That's one option. The other thing is to be an investment advisor or financial advisor, you know, so retirement, investing, all those things. That certainly is part of it. And so you just have to look, who's helping those folks that I want to help? How are they helping them? What does it take to get qualified? How much is it going to cost? How long is the process? And then what can I make? So I just think you have to do some basic research questions and you get those answers and then you go, okay, this isn't that scary. Might not be as attractive as it is in your mind right now, but you don't know where to start is holding you back. And the reality is the answering those questions I just gave you is going to help you come up with a plan to start and get there. But I wouldn't commit to this right away. You did accounting for 14 years. It tells me you like numbers. True or false?
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
You might need a different environment, maybe a different challenge as an accountant. I wouldn't throw out accounting right away. Hang on the line. Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you my Get Clear Career Assessment. I want you to take this. You're going to get a detailed report on your talent, what you do best, your passion, work you love to do, and then your mission, the results that you most want to contribute to the world through your work. And then it's going to put it together in a purpose statement. And that purpose statement now becomes a high-level job description and points you to the world at work to go, does this job match up with this purpose statement? Does this job description match up? And it's going to give you a lot of clarity and confidence to move forward. And I'm going to give you my book, my number one best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose as well. Let me give you that. That's the guide up the mountain once the assessment helps you identify a mountain. So thank you so much for the call. All right. Alex handed me this morning. And it's a cringy job post. And so the team found some postings on what's called Reddit. It's a social media platform. It's like a water cooler, all different kinds of topics. And so people posted some of these. Do we have images for these as well for our viewing audience? So I'll read them for our listening audience. For our viewing audience, you can follow along on the screen. So here's the first one. The position is entitled Tableau or Tableau. Thank you. Tableau admin. And look at this. Look right there. It tells you what it is. Location's Atlanta, Georgia. Pay rate, open. And then it says, less as possible. So not only is that a jerk move, they didn't even use the right grammar. I mean, come on. How is it that that person thinks that that job posting is going to attract anybody? At least put it this way. The least possible. At least get it grammatically right. Less as possible? What a complete idiot. All right, number two. Now, Alex, I was a little torn on this one. This, again, these are real people that are putting these job posts up, and they're going, this is cringy. Here we go. This is a sound operator for a film, a movie. And you can see this. They go through, please have your own mode of transportation and your own equipment. Okay. We need 100% commitment on this project. A sound will be one of the key elements of the project. So if you're too busy before July and you cannot transport yourself and you don't have your own sound equipment, please not apply. Okay, I got no problem with any of that. They're being very specific. And this is where it pays off. If money is all that matters and payment in cash, also, please do not apply cause this is a low budget to no budget film. Again, we've got all kinds of grammar errors. And can I just say that if somebody writes a job posting that wouldn't pass a fourth grade grammar test, you should have some red flags. Okay? And basically what this post is saying is, if you need some experience on this film, we're willing to talk. So it's cringy from the grammar, but it also feels like they're going, this is an opportunity for you to get some, be a part of a film that may get sold later, but the way it's laid out is cringy. So that was kind of cringy. All right, next. This is a work from home admin position. And you could see here, it says financial services firm needs a high level of computer skills, forms completion and management, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to cut through some of this. Please read this in all caps. By the way, anytime we communicate in all caps, it's slightly cringy. We don't need you to yell at us via your words. And I feel like that's what that's become. Please read this. If you do not have experience in banking or financial services, please do not send your resume. No problem. I got no problem. They say it will be discarded. I love it. It's direct, straightforward, no cringe. But then here we go again with the yelling in all caps. If you've had more than two jobs in 5 years, your resume will be discarded. Please respect this. This is cringe. Where'd you come up with that standard? Again, I want to know, if you had four jobs in 5 years, why'd you have four jobs in 5 years? Were you moving up? You might be a rock star. Now, some idiot thought, well, I'm going to proclaim something. All right. I'm going to skip to number five. This is operations assistant at a property management business. Now, folks, this is unbelievable. So I'm going to roll through this quickly. Okay. You got to be great at communication. You're going to touch basically every area of the property management. And they go on to say, acting as second command to the manager, taking care of all duties in their absence, scheduling meetings, answering questions for staff, providing excellent customer service, maintaining relationship with owners, partners, all connections, preparing and filing forms, assisting with onboarding new properties, updating logs. You got to have a bachelor's degree, proficiency in English. Previous experience in hospitality tourism is a must. Computer systems, apps, tools of work on your daily basis. And then here's my favorite part. Be genuinely happy. Being available any day and time is not a problem for you. What? You got to be happy, but you also have to have no life and be on call for us. They don't want an employee. They want C-3PO, that Star Wars drone. Come on, you idiots. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Everyday Millionaires.
Ordinary people built extraordinary wealth, and you can too. On Everyday Millionaires, you'll learn how millionaires live on less than they make, avoid debt, invest, and are disciplined and responsible. Listen to Everyday Millionaires wherever you listen to podcasts.